Welcome to Youngstown Studio Show. We do recover.
Hey.
Today we have a special guest, Sean Price and Alexis Alt. We've had Alexis on the show before, but we had a great time with her. We invited her back in.
She's like becoming a regular.
Yeah, she's a reg. We're just going to go ahead and get an extra co-host, triple co-host.
Yeah.
So we're going to dive right in. Sean, very happy to have you on the show. Sean is one of my brothers in recovery, and I'm excited for him to be here. So we're going to dive right in. What got you started? Like, when did you know you had a problem?
Probably when I was like 18 and I couldn't pay my rent. You know? And I couldn't hold a job, you know, for more than a couple weeks. That's probably when I realized I had a problem, you know.
And your drug of choice was?
Oh, man. I don't know if I could say I had a drug of choice. I just liked getting high, you know. Yeah. I liked getting outside of myself. I wasn't comfortable with who I was for a long time. So just anything I could do. I think when I found the drug that really fit me was probably heroin. You know, that was the one that made me feel most comfortable with myself at the time. So
yeah.
And that's when everything really started going downhill. So.
And you were an addict for roughly how long?
Oh, man, since I was 16. I'm 35.
Whoa.
So a long time. Started with like weed and alcohol.
But yeah, a little gateway.
Progressed to like cocaine when I was 18. So.
Okay. What was your like defining I hit rock bottom moment for you?
Well,
or how many times did you hit rock bottom?
Man, I've hit so many. I've hit so many different rock bottoms. I wouldn't say I have a defining one. I think for me, this is just my opinion. I think everybody just reaches a place in their life when they're just done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that would probably go along with more like I don't really know if I had like a spiritual awakening per se.
Okay.
I just believe like that we all suffer and go through these trials and tribulations for longer periods of time than others, and I think mine was just over and I've hit my end, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So. And how long do you have clean up?
Oh, just a little over 14 months.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. We do recover.
Yeah.
Guys, really quick, you can always post a question online. We try to watch and keep up with it. So if you have a question, you can post it on there. Or
you can call in 330-595-1600.
1600.
Come on, you usually hit with that.
I'm in the middle of a fast, so I'm a little.
And answer questions for you guys.
Slow.
But yeah, feel free to call in. We'll try to answer any question you guys have to the best of our knowledge and ability. So we posted earlier, if you could ask an addict any question, what would you ask them? And we're going to go through and ask Alexis and Sean, and we'll all join in the table talk with you.
And it'll just be a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always a good
time. It's always a good time. Hold on. I have up the thing, so let me get there. And who's in the hot seat?
Lex, what you got?
What is the best encouragement or strength that you can receive from someone who has never experienced addiction? This comes from Adam. Don't be mad when I
Reeve Summer.
I was gonna say it just like that, buddy. I sure was. I was about to say his last name just like that. So what's the best encouragement or strength that you can receive from someone who has never experienced addiction? Hot seat. We need like lights and she needs to like focus in right over here and everyone else gets like in the dark. You know what I'm saying? She's just
spotlight.
Yeah.
I guess I would say just like to support whatever's going on, even if they are in like active addiction. And I don't mean like give them money and like let them sleep on your couch or like give them rides to go get dope or stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean like be there for them. As best you can, let them know that they're not alone, I guess, you know, and that they'll make it out someday, you know what I mean? Just keep that hope alive, basically, because
yeah.
I know for me, though, like, I had to become hopeless. Like, I had to get to a point where I just really had nobody or nothing
mm-hmm.
for me to be able to say, all right, I'm done. Not everybody has to go through that, though.
Right.
Not everybody has to get there, but I did, so.
Right.
Yeah. Sean, what would you answer that?
Is the question that, like, how would I support somebody?
The best encouragement or strength that you can receive from someone who's never experienced addiction.
Like,
it doesn't say if
receive?
You're in active addiction
from someone
or
who's never been addiction.
Recovery.
Oh, wow. This is kind of good because my significant other, Michelle, she has been like my biggest support.
Shout out. Hey, you're doing shout outs today, too.
No, man. She just pushes me and helps me find like, I don't even know how to word it, but like I struggled with like being able to believe in myself and I doubted myself and it stopped me from doing certain things, you know. And then she came along and she's been like this huge support, and as through her I've been able to find strength and
confidence
. And she's really pushed me to become this person that I didn't think I could ever be. So
that's awesome.
I noticed the confidence. Yeah. He came in with a little swag appeal and stuff.
I know, right?
I'm like, dude.
He wore his red for Ted.
Right. He got the shirt that matched the shoes and
matched
the hat.
He wanted to blend in with the couches.
Woo! I know. I came in. I was like, where's he at? I thought Sean was coming.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's really important, I believe, especially when you talk about significant other, to find someone who's really going to support your dreams and really believe in you, right? You know, yeah. And I'm so excited that I have that as well. You know, I mean, someone who actually believes in believes in me more than I believe in myself sometimes, you know what I mean?
Wife.
So that's definitely wife material.
Period. Hint, Sean. We just dropping hints on him.
So Sean, I'm gonna ask you another question from Nate Dukes. What's up, Nate? How you doing? We had Nate in. He had just written a book. It's a great book, by the way. Nate asks, why can't you just quit?
Man, I don't know. I don't know why you can't just quit. I guess it's because that's why they call it a disease. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That we suffer from. If it was as simple as just quitting, then I wouldn't have been in active addiction since I was 16. And I think a big part of it too was I didn't work on myself all them years. Like, I had issues that were buried deep inside of me, and I didn't ever address it. And I always was trying to cover that up and force that stuff back down with drugs. And so, I don't know.
And I think too, like you touched on it. Yeah. Like it's, you know, if you could just quit, you would just quit. Like nobody is like sitting at home and they're like, I cannot wait to be a junkie. Right. I cannot wait to be homeless. Yeah. I cannot wait to not be able to take a shower. I cannot wait to, like, nobody sits at home and thinks that. Like, nobody, that's not their hopes, their dreams, their goals.
Right.
But the obsession and compulsion, when you take it, it's in there. And once that light switch is on, there is no off switch. It is not like you sit there and you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to do this no more. You say that, and you literally mean it, and you're dead serious. I'm done.
Yeah.
I ain't doing this no more.
Moments of clarity. It's like, I'm done. I'm not going to use it again.
This is it.
And then you realize you can't get out a better move, and you're like, well,
I have to. Yeah. And then that's just it. So it's not like, I'm just going to quit. Yeah.
And the sad part is, like, when you would go to bed at night, you would wholeheartedly tell yourself, like,
I'm done.
And you believed it. Like, you weren't even lying. Like, everything inside of you was honest, like, about, like, I'm not going to do it in the morning.
Yeah.
The morning came.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
like, I'm going to go to court tomorrow, I swear. And then,
My mom would ask me, like, what is it? Like, what does this feel like? Like, what is this like? Because I would tell her that I was hurting. And I'm like, man, I break my heart every day, every single day, because I would say, I'm not going to do this. And just lie to myself and break those promises.
It's using against your own will.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even want to do it, but you have no other option. You're using against your own will. They classify it as a disease because it's progressive, right? So it goes from this, like you said, smoking weed and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. It's progressive, it's incurable, and it's fatal. So those three things is why it's classified as a disease, because people always have this, is it really a disease? I don't think it's a disease. We don't really care what anybody thinks. We're just letting you know that that's why it's classified as a disease, because it falls under those three categories, because there's certain categories that things have to classify under to be a disease. That's why, you know, and when you think about it, it is true. Like, it is fatal, right? If I just continue using, I'm going to experience my last high at some point, whether it's through recovery or because I overdosed.
Yeah.
That's it. So,
and
you know,
just within this last year, whenever they posted us, the overdose rates are up 33% just in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
33%. That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So we have another question from Samantha Edwards. What's up, Sam?
Hey.
What are some ideas or suggestions you may have for the facilities where detox and inpatient treatments are happening that may help them be more successful? So we talk about, you know, different treatment centers and different programs they have, like MET and methadone and MMJ and all these different things. What would you say? I mean, Sean, you worked at a treatment facility. What would you say they could do better in order for to have clients actually recover instead of just medicating them more?
Well, there was a treatment facility I was in, and when I detoxed, and they did like a 7-day taper when you got there, and that seemed to work for me.
Taper from Suboxone.
Suboxone. And I honestly, I don't have nothing against MAT, but I just, every time I've ever got into it and I tried to take it for a long period of time, me being an addict, I would either abuse it, sell it, and then when I didn't have it, I'd turn right back to heroin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just think, I don't know. I don't really want to say anything bad because it's working for some people, but
right.
I think they'd have a better success rate if they just cut it out after the detox period.
Right.
Because I know I perform best when I have literally nothing in me. You
right.
know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think it's good too that, like, for me, when I was in rehab, they were not offering me to take something to leave with, because I would have, because I don't have the capability to say no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm through and through an addict. So if I have 20 days clean and you're asking me, here, take this, then I'm going to say, okay. And my thought process is because the doctor said so. Right.
Yeah.
Well, every other time that the doctor said so, it didn't work out for me. So, like, I'm glad that they didn't do that for me personally. And also, it's like, it's the substitution of, I don't want to wake up and have to take nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
I don't care.
There's no better feeling than waking up knowing how you're going to feel.
Right.
And it's such a touchy subject because, yeah, it is saving people's lives.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was no Suboxone program and methadone programs, the overdose rates would be higher.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I could tell you what works
freedom,
for me.
I feel like.
Yeah. So
I do.
I was on maintenance and I wasn't free from addiction, I knew at any given moment if I stopped taking those, I was going to go back.
Or you try to plan a vacation. You're like, well, wait a minute. I have to make sure that they're going to give me enough take homes and this and that. And it's just like, you know what it's like when we just plan our vacation and we just up and leave and you don't have to worry about it. And whatever time we wake up, nobody's going to be sick and everybody's going to be fine.
Right.
And it's just like, it's a different form of complete freedom.
Yeah, I think like for me, the most critical part of my recovery was like within that first 30 days. And like, and what I mean by that is like, that's when you start to feel again from not having drugs in your system. And you got all these emotions that you have to now deal with. And I think for me, when I would take a sub, it would block that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't address it.
Yeah.
So for me, what worked was I had to not be afraid to feel and address all these feelings and this guilt and this shame I had.
Yeah.
And that's how I really pushed past that 30-day mark.
Oh, and it says too about the like detox. I just personally don't believe that you go to detox and you leave, because my thought process tells me that if you've been using for whatever, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, sitting down for 7 days compared to ain't is just not enough, you know? Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen for people, and I'm not saying that it doesn't work, but the question is, to help with success rates, I feel like you push inpatient. You push that on people, no matter what. There should be H and I coming into detox and talking to people where they feel compelled and led to say, shoot, I guess I'm going to go down to inpatient. Because you came in here and you spoke to me and it made sense and it clicked. Because a lot of times in detox, you're just literally detoxing. Like, you're in your bedroom, you're sick,
you're sleeping.
You're strolling out at whatever hours, you're eating food, it's this, it's that. And like, if you're missing groups and things where things are being said that can save your life, that may get you to go down to an inpatient where you could sit down and like dry out for a minute and really like come to some senses. Like, that's what I think, you know? And I know that you can't force somebody to stay, but if you're also not pushing it or doing anything to try to get them to stay.
I think in my experience, like, cause I went to detox, I mean, I don't know, 100-something times. And left, you know what I mean? Yep. The third or fourth day. Mm-hmm. So, but I was never made to feel like it was, you know, imperative that I go to treatment. It was always just kind of like an option thing. And if you're giving an addict the option.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Because I'm good.
I was never made to feel like this is part of your treatment. Like, this is part of what's going to keep you clean.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it. Yeah.
I think it goes back to like what I was saying. I needed a safe place to process the emotions that I was now feeling that I
you can't do that in detox because you're a freaking wreck.
I remember going to my first 12-step meeting and actually having feelings and crying and feeling like, you know what I mean? I went to my first meeting, it was a lights out meeting, so they shut the lights out, right? And I remember going in and I remember cheering and crying, and I was like, man, I hope these lights will come on. I gotta get up before these lights come on. But like, to have those emotions back and stuff felt. I was very vulnerable at that stage. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what it took in order to recover me, is to go through those emotions and talk through your problems. And because we all realize, you know, we say it all the time, like, drugs and alcohol aren't our problem. They're our solution to a deeper problem. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
My favorite, type of service work is speaking at rehabs.
Yeah.
That is
like
my absolute favorite type of service work. Because like, those are the people, like, you have to reach those people while they're like in that state.
Yeah.
That could be life-saving, you know? And I'm highly aware of that. I know that like, those are the, like, I don't care to go to speaker jams and stuff. I'm not saying it like I don't care, but I'm just saying like, these people are so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, they need something. Somebody's got to come in and touch their spirit or they may die. Like, they could be leaving right now.
Yeah.
They could have a game planned up that they already have their dope man on the way and they're leaving.
Yeah.
And you could say something like to them, because those, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience, how it was for me.
How powerful was Sunday to like have George from.
Yeah.
We hadn't seen him for 9 months. He was like, hey, listen, Jed Nally, you came and spoke to me in PA last year at Gateway and gave me the story. And that's the reason why I'm in the place I'm at today.
Nice.
And to hear that, I didn't even recognize
him. I know. He was just sharing his testimony at church.
To hear that, I was just like, wow, like that's pretty awesome.
They were giving testimonies at church at Bridge of Hope.
Yeah.
So if y'all missed it, I feel bad for you because it was a lit service on Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday Bridge of Hope, 1030, 7580 Glenwood Avenue. It is really just
on a
powerful, definitely.
Things are happening.
Off the chain. Yeah, it's great.
Y'all should come show up. Doing shout outs. We're gonna go with Raymond Short. He has a deep question.
Y'all
ready for this? All right. Why do you all keep calling yourselves addicts when you have recovered? You're no longer addicts. You're children of God. Keep calling yourself an addict. Will you ever be able to fully recover from it? You got to drop that title off yourself.
Yeah.
Wow. You want me to go?
You go with this.
Woo, Sean. Sean, ready to go.
Let's go.
He would like get the hot seat lights on me over here.
This is important for me because, like, every morning I wake up. First of all, I believe in like speaking things into existence.
Come on.
So I don't really refer to myself as an addict anymore unless I'm at a meeting. I do it out of respect for the meeting. But when I wake up in the morning, I have to remind myself that I don't tell myself I'm an addict, but I do have to tell myself every morning that I suffer from a disease mm-hmm. of addiction, and I can't just have one. I can't successfully use.
Yeah.
So I got to remind myself every day when I wake up that, you know, I'm just one mistake away from a full-blown relapse and losing everything I've worked hard for. You know?
Right.
So,
I think for me, like, in the beginning or even when I was younger, like, there was such a stigma surrounded with that word, you know what I mean? You're an addict. And so, you know, I always pictured, like, somebody half dead in a bathroom somewhere, you know what I mean? Mm. It was always such, like, this horrible thing. And I think it helps me to get, like, some healing around that when I refer to myself as an addict this way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm an addict, but I'm also a good mom. I'm also a great friend. I'm also a good daughter. I also show up to work. You know what I mean? I also do what I need to do in my life. I'm also a productive member of society.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes that away from, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm an addict, but
it's not
that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I refer to myself as a grateful recovering addict, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm grateful and I'm recovering. I'm an addict.
Right.
I can't say, as Ray said, you're recovered. Because as we say, you know, this is a disease, right?
Right.
It doesn't go away. It says you can arrest this disease. So I'm not going to sit there and say
incurable.
It's incurable, right? Yeah. I'm not going to say I'm recovered. Yeah, I am a child of God. Yes, right. I believe that he could take this all away from me as long as I surrender. And I'm talking about surrendering on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It's a daily maintenance program. You have to do this every single day. Mm-hmm. So like, and it's just like anything else. You look at having a relationship with God. It's a daily thing.
Yeah.
And you look at if I want to be good at anything, it's a daily thing. I have to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be good at anything unless you do it every day.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a daily thing for me. I'm a recovering addict. Yes, I realize that this is a disease that it's incurable, right? But I can arrest this disease, and I'm a recovering addict as long as I can put myself in check every single day and practice my principles from all my life, every single day.
Right.
And it's a daily process. And anything you want to succeed with in life, it's a daily process. Even have a relationship with God.
Yeah. And, like, what keeps me clean yesterday isn't going to keep me clean today.
Right.
Like you said, like, it's daily. So I have to work on it daily. But I also truly believe with, like, everything in me that, you know, God did that to be able to, and I talked about this last show, to show others that the mountain can be moved, right? This was my mountain that was assigned to me.
Yeah.
You're going to be an addict. You're going to be in full-blown drug addiction, and you're going to move the mountain. You're going to show other people that it can be moved. Yeah. I'm never going to walk away from that platform in terms of, I'm always going to show to meetings. Like, I'm saying that because I don't want to not go there. I don't, that's like my medicine. That's where I need to go. That's where I have, those are my people.
Why would you
they
stop somebody
who's
worked for so
long? Yeah, y'all, I show up to the meeting and they understand what I'm talking about when I'm full blown crazy. They're like, yeah, girl, me too. You know, normal people, they're like, wow, she's crazy. Yeah, saw me right with her. But I go there, we identify, things keep it moving. But like you said, it's the hope shop, but that's where I'm going to find my people that I could bring to God, right?
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to find them. I'm not finding them at, you know, at church. I'm not finding them at the mall. I'm finding them there.
Yeah, it's
so
the platform,
like,
God gave
that's
us.
That's what I believe to be. And like you said, I am a grateful recovering addict. I'm never going to graduate. I don't have it confused. I'm not, you know what I mean, going to walk in one day and say, y'all, I graduated from here. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that God cannot remove that fully either.
Right.
You know, that's not what I'm saying. But because I work that program and this is what it teaches me, I live by that. And it teaches me that I am a recovering addict. I will not graduate and I need to still show up and I need to work on that every single day. Yeah. So I'm going to continue to do that. And I'm going to identify as a recovering addict because that's what I'm going to identify as. And so, and other people will come along that need to come along.
Right.
So, you know,
awesome. Mitchell, a chance, reps before steps or steps before reps. Listen, bro.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, asking for a friend. Listen, bro, if you don't put them steps before the reps, you're never going to get the reps in. Bottom
get
line.
Drop down and give me 20.
Come on,
do it.
Stop it.
He said, don't try me.
I did try you.
Stop
you
it.
Declined? Did you decline with one arm?
Steve,
do it. I'll
what's
sit on
up,
your back.
Steve? How we doing? What are your go-to alternatives to avoid relapse,
Sean?
Support group,
12-step programs.
Yeah, Narcotics Anonymous, my sponsor. I'm now sponsoring somebody. So
yeah, come on,
Lex, throw some out. I feel like it should be like a bing, bing, bing. Yeah. Y'all should see who ends last.
Ready, go.
Go.
Lex already quit.
You quit?
I quit, Roy.
No.
All right, so support group meetings.
No, back and forth.
Come on, y'all are not a ping pong over
no,
here.
No, we don't.
Y'all greedy.
Y'all be doing pick under one. Some in your spirit. Well, do that all the time.
Yeah. One thing.
Meetings.
Helping another addict.
Step over.
Calling your sponsor.
Oh.
I was going to say sponsorship.
Three.
I don't know.
Two. One.
Sean. That was fun. We'll do that again. Yeah, I mean, literally, spiritual maintenance, spiritual conditioning, body, mind, spirit. Like, we believe in that kind of
stuff. Mind, body, spirit, every day.
Yeah, and the longer, like, you sit in recovery, the more that you're like, dang, I got to get my body together. Yeah. Dang, my mind ain't right. Dang, I got to work on this. Girl. And you keep adding more into it, you know? I'm in the middle of a 60-hour fast.
Come on.
I'm not in the middle. I'm nearing the end. Okay. Yeah, I'm like 50 hours in. Thank you. 7 a.m. 7 o'clock, 13 minutes. 7:13 is my end time. Trust and believe. I know it. It is on my app. I'm tracking. I'm ready to go. Okay. I'm going to hit my 60.
I'm throwing this question out there from Ashley. Is there anything a public school could have done to prevent you from falling into addiction?
That's a deep question, ain't it?
Yeah, I'm not going to answer it because, in fact, I mean, I wasn't an addict in high school. So, like, sports obviously kept me, like, from slipping into that, you know what I mean? Because I was regimented every day, an addict. So, like, you know, I found my groove in the sports, and I was addicted to sports, and that's all I did. So, like, I mean, I know you started in high school. You didn't even graduate high school. No, I'm
joking. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm joking.
I picked up like weed pills and stuff like that when I was like 14, and I shot heroin for the first time when I was 15.
Wow.
So like my high school was like, I don't even remember. You know what I mean? There was like Xannies were everywhere when I was like 16. I don't remember being 16.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So I can't say that I went to Struthers High School. I can't say
Struthers.
I can't say that there was anything that, you know, a teacher or a class or you know, they would have like Dare come in and stuff in middle school. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? I can't say that there's anything that they could have done because this is just what was meant to happen in my life. You know what I mean? And I like how you said that about God. This is the only way that God was going to be able to snatch you up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, you know, you can't say that like the absence of problems in your life means that God's got you. Like, no, he's going to use every single problem, every single issue to show up and show out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He does not waste the heart.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is how great I am. Look what I'm doing in your life because this is, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
you're going to share my
story.
There
was nothing anybody could have done because I'm sure they tried. I'm sure.
Yeah.
My dad tried. Okay.
Okay.
My mom tried. All right.
What about you, Sean?
Preach.
For high school.
Well, I think the ironic thing is my first introduction to drugs was Dare. I mean, I didn't even know what they were.
We all let that little dude down, man. We let the Dare dude down.
What is that?
He came through, and we all like just we found you, buddy. We found you, the little lion.
Right.
They still do Dare, right?
I don't know.
I'm like, let me get a t-shirt.
They found out
I was
working.
I was all like, look at my
Derek. Right. You was walking around with your black shirt with the red on it.
Right.
And you couldn't tell me nothing while I was smoking my blunt.
Right.
Wearing my Derek shirt.
Right. Yeah.
We are not glorifying drugs, guys. Just, I know we're laughing about it right now. But no. Go ahead, Sean.
But honestly, like, drugs are everywhere. You're going to find them, whether you find them in school or you meet people outside of school. I dropped out of school when I was 16, and I didn't really start doing heavy drugs until I was 18. So I was introduced to that outside of school.
Yeah,
I think you're just going to find them. I think it's all about who you decide to hang out with. I think a lot of it for me, too, was I love my parents, but they really wanted to shelter me, and so I wanted to always kind of lash out, and the The bad people was an attraction to me because it was something I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I kind of just left, you know.
I think it is important to, and you look at like, you look at like Reach One with Marcus, like he goes into high schools and he speaks to them and makes them aware of what could happen to you with drugs, and it makes them aware. I think it's very important while you're in high school that you are aware of drugs. You are aware what they can do to you. I don't think we should turn a blind eye for school. I think we should bring in people to make the students aware.
I think that too.
So people come in there and share the pain and the way your drugs aren't so glorified. Like in high school, it was like the cool thing to go smoke weed. It was like people snorting coke were like, whoa, you're like, you know what I mean? You're out there. And I never jumped off that cliff, but it was tempting at times. It was like, wow, like these are the cool group. You know, they're going to the clubs. They're doing this and that.
Yeah.
I think it's important that we do share the pain and suffering.
I think it should be like really... just like you said, like really raw and really, because I know for me, like when I was in high school, I do vaguely remember somebody coming in to talk about drugs, like vaguely. And when I say that, because I was high, right? And I remember thinking, shut up. Right. Like that was my thought process when I, you know, and I'm just like, just shut up. Like you sound dumb up there, you know, and then just doing whatever. But I don't know who it was. I couldn't tell you any, you know, I have no clue, but he didn't really say nothing. It was just like, you shouldn't do drugs and yada, yada, yada. But there was like nothing really behind it, because I also remember in high school having out my calendar and thinking, shoot, I feel like I'm doing so many drugs. I'm going to start writing them on this calendar because I feel like I shouldn't be doing this many. It might be like too much stuff that I'm doing. Okay. And so like I was writing in on my calendar that was like for school what I was taking on a daily basis. Cause I'd be like, wait, what did you take yesterday? You better be careful. You don't want to overdose. And like putting it in my planner and then being like, okay, tomorrow you can't take that because you've been taking this, you know, you've been taking this pill for so many days. You've been on Xanax. You've been on ecstasy. You've been doing acid. You got to cut this one back. You got to watch this. But having no control over it, not being able to do it, but not knowing that that was a problem. Just thinking, but you know what? Because it was Saturday and we all went out and took ecstasy this day. So that's why I took ecstasy 6 days in a row. So that's really what happened. And I know I haven't slept, but that's why I'm doing coke now, because I have to be alert. So, but just not even realizing, because I was young, that that was a problem, that I shouldn't have been doing that. And maybe if somebody came in and been really raw about some stuff, realizing like, shoot, maybe that was a problem. Shoot, maybe, or hey, did your friends say that they saw you last night at Burger King drive-thru and you don't remember being there? Right. You might have a problem. Nobody ever told me that. When people would say that they saw me the other day, and I'd think to myself, I was there. I don't even remember that. Like you said, like you just, there's points in my life I don't remember. But nobody pointed that out to me in high school that that might be a problem.
Yeah. So I think like, it's important to.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that like that would have prevented, but it may have been like
a caution sign.
Might have been an opening moment where I might have thought maybe I have a problem, and it being offered. If you think you might have a problem, here's a number you can call discreetly. Here's a solution. Here, why don't you ask this? How about this pamphlet? Who's an addict? Maybe answer these questions and see if you think you might have a problem, like a little test of a sort. Like, do I have a problem? You know what I mean?
Do they give resources to students?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because like, I think that was my biggest issue for a long time was, I didn't even know like how to get into rehab.
And so, I didn't know anything about 12-step programs that there was for narcotics until I was in prison. Like I had no idea. I knew there was AA, but I was like, well, I don't have a problem with alcohol.
It's like an underground society.
Yeah. And then there was like, in prison, they were like, oh, here's this. This is for people that, and then there, you find out, oh, there's a 12-step program for meth. There's a 12-step program for heroin. There's a 12-step program for like every drug.
And you and,
like,
show up and, and you see like someone that you're like, this is where you've been for the last 5 years.
Right.
I thought you done died into death. You've been coming here?
Right.
Whoa. Like there's just people in there that you're like, whoa, this is where you've been hiding out.
Geary asked the question, what do I do for a friend that refuses to quit?
Just I don't know, man. You got to keep people like that. For me, I got to keep people like that at a safe distance. People, when they're ready to quit, they'll reach out, you know, and I'll be there. But for me, man, I got to look out for me. So I can't really be that involved when somebody's not putting forth an effort to help themselves.
Yeah.
Because it could take me off of my square. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you can't make someone want – you can wish it all you want, but when someone's not ready to quit, you can't do anything about it. No. When I wasn't ready to quit, you could have talked to me till you're blue in the face. I'm not going to – it didn't matter. Yeah. Yeah, I might sit there and entertain it, but if I wasn't ready, I wasn't ready. And that was the whole point. It was like, so when you're at that point and you're with someone who – isn't ready to quit, and you sit there and you're telling them all this different stuff, and you're worried they're gonna die, you're worried about, but you gotta love them from a distance. I mean, it's hard, and you gotta make sure you're not sitting there enabling them, because that's the biggest thing. I promise you, if my enablers were still enabling me, I would still be out there using.
Yeah, because why would you need to quit?
Right,
exactly.
There's
money. I was getting, you know what I mean. I didn't need to quit, and then. Obviously, everybody's rock bottom is different and all that stuff, but it's going to make you hit rock bottom way quicker whenever you don't have the enablers.
Just from personal experience, like, I've been on that side, like, where I've known people in recovery, and they've had to love me from a distance. And when I wasn't trying to really fully quit, they didn't want to be in my life. But when I reached out and genuinely wanted help, they were always there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because you know when you're – doing wrong, you know what I mean? You know that you
don't even want to be around
people
recovering. You're like, put
but
the
then
happy
you
smile
always
want
to play the
face.
Victim card, like, they don't want to talk to me because of this. You make up all that. Right. It's your own fault. Stop playing the victim card. It's your problem.
Yeah.
You know, if you want help, there is plenty of people out there to call. You can hit me up, you can hit Sean, you can hit any one of us up, and we'll be able to direct
you. Just get
you
to a meeting.
Yeah.
That's all you really even need to do. You know, just show up.
Yeah, but, and it's sad to watch.
Yeah,
it's sad to watch, it's hurtful to watch, and it's painful, and it doesn't get any easier. Mm-hmm. And we're not up here saying like it's difficult, you know, like it sucks, but it comes back to like that surrender of like I couldn't even control my own disease.
Right.
What makes me think I can control someone else's?
Right.
Like I'm not gonna be.
You can like try your best to like plant a seed real quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, but you gotta walk.
Be loving,
like,
caring, and kind.
Water it.
Distance.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can try, but.
Next question: has a spouse of a recovering addict, what signs should I watch for? In my mind, relapse does not mean going back to the same habit, but could be exchanging one for something new.
Thanks, Jessica Rawlinson, girl.
So, I mean, that's rough. So the signs to watch for, I know.
Would it be like Amazon packages showing up every day?
If that's the case, my wife needs to go to rehab right now. Dude, I'm talking 10 packages a day, 50 easy a week. Yeah.
It's all stuff we need.
Okay. Anyway.
Right.
So like signs to look for would be like putting yourself like sorry guys, I haven't had carbs in a long time. When they're self-isolating.
You're doing a remix.
Yeah, when people self-isolate, that's a strong key that something's wrong.
Mood change, like a very like intense mood
change.
Out of character. Oh, we're doing the ping pong.
Yeah. I'm real big. Like, I value, like, my time with my family. Mm-hmm. So, like, I told, like, Michelle, I was like, if I start to not come around or I just, I'm not showing up, something's
there's
going
a problem.
On.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The
bill didn't get paid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The money's out for some unknown reason.
If I start saying, like, oh, someone just stole $400 in my car, you know what I mean? Or, hey, my car broke down.
Yeah. I didn't loan my car out to nobody.
Cash out me like $400 real quick. My car broke down. I mean, you look for those, like,
changing mood, changing behavior.
Like, made-up stories.
Yes.
Really bizarre ones. Yeah.
Your spouse anymore. Like,
if you cannot see their pupils, that's a key
indicator
that they're probably
right
high.
If they're losing a lot of weight, but they're not fasting or starving themselves and not eating carbs, okay?
Yeah.
So we're good over here.
Yeah,
there's stuff. Because I know for me, like, I'll start lying like that. Like, oh man, my car broke down.
Right. Like, yeah.
All this other
always.
Come on.
Right.
But we all
my work didn't pay me. I don't know why they just didn't pay me, but they didn't pay me. Right. Yeah. So I'm gonna need to borrow $900. Right.
My check was 50 cents.
And my work's handling it, yeah. But till they do, could you help me?
My dog just got cancer and surgery is $10,000. Yeah. Can you please send me a GoFundMe?
Your GoFundMe comes up, you know what I mean, for the dog they right. don't even have.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're laughing about this, but these are like really like, I mean, this is yeah, true.
Serious.
I mean, I've literally said everything we've said, and I got paid for it.
But they're like, right. Where's your car? You're like, first of all, my car's in the shop. They're yeah. like, for what? You're like, what?
Right.
Because you have nothing to come out with. Right. They're just like, what?
That was my favorite thing. What do you mean?
Right.
What's all
crinkled face and off. Yeah. Yeah. Nostrils. What are you talking about? Like,
huh? Yeah. So when they start repeating your question, they yeah. don't have a lie.
There's no sun in the house at all, but their eyes are like, right.
They're running to the blinds to see who's coming. Yeah. Or they're checking the microphone.
If you need to know your spouse is on drugs, hit one of us up. We definitely can spot that.
Just send a recording and we'll let you know. Yeah. Off the top. And again, we're not making fun of, but no. we've cried enough. Yeah. We've been in enough pain. Yeah. We've surrendered it over, and now we like openly talk about it and share about it and think, yeah. Wow, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, but God.
Yeah.
We'll throw this question all around the table real quick. This is the last question on my list. But what made you decide to use drugs for the first time? Mm.
Well, let's start with Sean.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. I was missing something. I think I originally got saved when I was like 12. And my mom, she left when I was like 2. And I've always had this void, whether it was not having her. And then it was not having God. And for some reason I couldn't figure that out. So I was just... I needed something to fill that void. You yeah. know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I started with weed, but nothing was ever good enough. You know what I mean? Right. Until yeah. I got heroin. And then I was like, all right, everything's fine now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I would say that, and I said this earlier, you know, I didn't sit at home and say, oh, I can't wait to be a junkie today. Yeah. But I did see like the older kids, and you talked about this too in school, like I did see what I thought was the cool group. Mm-hmm. I did see what I thought I was attracted to. I did see that and thought like that looked good. Oh, selling drugs. Oh, you do yeah. this. Oh, y'all party. That looked fun to me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do that. Nobody yeah. said though, Allie, you know, you're going to do the same drugs that they do. But they're going to stop
right.
on Friday night when they go home. They're going to be done.
Right. Yeah.
And then they won't do it again until next Friday night. Nobody said, but you're going to keep doing it Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the next forever. Right. Nobody broke that down to me, and I didn't know. But it looked good. Mm. And so I just wanted to do that because it looked fun. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to, like, be a part of. Yeah. I just wanted a party.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a hyper personality. Mm. I like to party. I don't do it with drugs now, but, like, I just wanted to do that. And then while I was in it, the lifestyle to me, I glorified it. And I thought it was,
yeah,
I'm going to be selling drugs. I'm going to be slanging drugs right. all over town.
Yeah, we
stuff.
All turn into Al Pacino.
Right.
Yeah, I'm the plug.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, you see me out here just yeah. selling. Like, yeah. that's what I thought was going on. But like, that's what it was. I was like attracted to that. Looked fun to me. And that looked like a good time. So that was it.
Yeah. Same thing. I couldn't accept myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't like who I was because I didn't really take yeah. the time to know. So, you know, these
I'm
people
a fit in here.
Me
right.
they're all drunk all the time. You know right. what I mean? We hang out and have fun because we're doing this and that. And it was just like that lifestyle and that it attracted me.
Yeah.
Because I who wants to spend time with yourself? You're miserable. You yeah. know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah.
You just know that like, something had to have gone wrong somewhere before
yeah.
for a 15-year-old to say, oh, yeah, putting a needle in my arm to get high is a good idea.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it just goes back to that. It all had to come from something else, you know,
yeah.
which is I'm just an addict.
Yeah.
I'm an addict, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the same. I mean, I'm a mixture between all three. Like, I had an identity problem. I didn't know who I was. I thought I had to be someone else around every single person I hung out with. I'd want to please them. I never wanted to let anybody down. Right. And then at the same time, like, you know, I wanted to party. I wanted to fit in. I didn't know who I was. You know, all that at once. And then, like, and even Ali said that, like, I didn't know that when I picked up, I wouldn't be able to put it down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was my problem. Like, and when I picked it up, you know, I partied for the weekend, and I was the type of person, when I drank, I drank until I passed out. You know what I mean? I did drugs until I couldn't, you know what I mean? I didn't have any more. And then when I woke up, that's all I thought about. So it wasn't like I was going to puke or get sick from not doing the drugs at first, but my compulsive thoughts was just like, I cannot wait to get the next one. Where can I get it from? And that's what it started with me. I was like, I didn't know who I was. And then now that I filled the void, as Sean said, like, it was everybody has that void inside. And what are we going to fill that void with? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, God's sitting there wanting us to fill the void with him. And I feel like that's the only, like,
the more you filled it with, like, physical things, you just made the hole bigger.
Absolutely. Right?
It just kept getting bigger. Danielle Castro had asked, and Lex, I'm going to direct it to you because it directs about a kid, but I had always had a question for my ex that would never be answered. I wanted to get an idea of what he might say. My question is, why do you complain that you're not succeeding in life, but yet feel like doing drugs and being homeless is your solution to everything? You have a kid, but yet you would rather be taken care of like a kid yourself. I just want to know, are drugs that important to you that you act the way that you act with everyone in your life?
Wow.
I thought it was deep.
Yeah,
it is deep.
You got 4 minutes to answer that one.
So,
because I see that there's like two parts to it. Go ahead. Yeah.
When you're like, okay, when I first started using, I was using until I was 18. I found out I was pregnant and I went to Meridian. They were given like scripts of Suboxone at this time. I went, took it to the pharmacy. I gave it to the pharmacy and never went and picked it up. I just quit cold turkey. Okay. Which at some point, I guess you're able to do that. My disease hadn't progressed enough to where I was just using all the time. So, I did that, but when she was maybe like 2 years old, I started drinking like every day, and that wasn't my drug of choice. I liked heroin, but I started drinking every day because I hadn't been working on myself. You know what I mean? So like, once I found that thing that was going to make me feel better about myself, because I hadn't been working on myself, I hadn't been doing anything to take care of myself. I just wanted to do that all the time because it was helping me to
and everything feel, else in your life didn't matter.
Yeah, it was
kids, house,
me,
homeless,
right,
nothing
exactly.
matters when you're on that.
It was helping me to feel like, okay, I got this. Even though I was like strolling into Walmart with sunglasses on and stuff with my daughter and blah, blah, blah. I thought everything was fine because I felt good. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you lie to yourself, man. You just lie to yourself.
Until you're in too deep.
Yeah, you just lie to yourself.
Because you don't have a way out.
Right, and you wake up and you're just drowning.
And you never are like, hey, I'm going to leave my kid.
Yeah.
And you're never like, this is what my goal is and my plan.
Yeah.
And it's always like, I'm trying to get back there. Yeah. I'm trying to get back there, but you're like stuck.
Yeah.
You know,
just,
it's
like drifting and further.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's
then you start lying to yourself that the kid's better off without you because it's the only way that you could stay out there and not like literally just want to die. Yeah.
I know one thing that I have to say, like, to the person that asked that question is like, you can't imagine like that pain that person is going through because they're, you know, I know they're lying to you, they're lying to their family, they're, you know, leaving their kids and yada yada. But, you know, a lot of people think that we don't have like the capability to think about that stuff, but we do. That's what makes it so painful. It's because we know that we're leaving our kids. We know that we're lying to our family. We know all this, but we can't stop ourselves. You know, we're powerless over it. We just got to get the next one.
And sometimes you just feel like, everything is so messed up. There's just no point.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm never Right. You like convince yourself, I'm never going to be better than this. I'm never going to be able to stop doing this, especially if it's been going on for so long. Yeah. You're just like, there's no way out for me.
I'm
there,
just keep going until I die. Because nobody's
and then and then and then everyone will be relieved.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you think that stuff. I'm everyone will be relieved if I die because then they won't have to deal with me because you know you're a burden.
Yeah.
You literally know you're a burden and you don't want to be, but you can't stop yourself.
Yeah.
That's wow. Horrible.
I mean, it is. It absolutely is horrible.
It is.
On a brighter note, I know Sean has some exciting news with he's having a baby soon.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, is he announcing that?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
February 25th.
Hey, congratulations.
Michelle, congratulations. And that's the beauty about the whole thing is being able to.
Your baby never has to see you high.
See you get high.
Yeah.
Ever. Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah. That's great. Guys, listen, that's all the time we have. I want to thank Sean with the Alexis for coming in. Guys, again, if you're looking for a church, if you're looking for, listen, Bridge of Hope, Sundays, 10:30, 7580 Glenwood Avenue, or Recovery Night.
Second Friday of every month.
Yes, at 7 o'clock. There's childcare available.
It's phenomenal.
It is. Hundreds of people come, and it's just it's awesome. If you've missed, I feel bad for you.
Yeah,
show up this the second Friday of every month, 7580 Glenwood Avenue. Guys, thank you so much. It's all the time we have. We'll be back next week.
Not next week.
No, the week after. We do every other alternating weeks right now. So that's it. Thanks for joining in.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Hey.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.